I want that son of a to sign with Philly.
I think there is a good chance Jaromír Jágr just became the most hated athlete in Pittsburgh sports history.
You're both scumbags, and you are now the biggest official Jagoffs in Pittsburgh history.
Can you even imagine a playoff matchup between the Jaromír Jágr and the Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins?
You're following the march to the Stanley Cup on the Penn Nation Radio Show.
Live with Joe Tepto, Andy Hughes, Ashley Langwall, Nick Richter, and Ken Wills.
Lines are open now at 347-202-0344.
Not dead yet is the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not really sure what else to say. I think that most people thought that the Pittsburgh Penguins were left for dead after Game 3. I think a lot of people thought that the season was ending. Even despite a really lopsided Game 4 win, I think a lot of people were expecting this one to be a letdown, and it was anything but. We actually had a tight-knit, strong goaltending, just an overall great game of hockey. The Pens Nation Radio Show, Ashley Langwa on the line with me, Nick Richter coming on later. You want to give us a call, 347-202-0344. We'll be taking your calls until about 11 o'clock tonight, and want to hear from you, your thoughts, your feelings. How are you feeling right now about this game going into a Game 6, going back to Philadelphia on Sunday? Can the Pens take it to Game 7? Ashley, what do you think? Are they going to 7?
You know what? I don't know. I am so nervous that just the thought of that game on Sunday is kind of making me a little bit nauseous right now as we speak. Just thinking about it, my hands are getting a little cold and clammy, and my stomach is nodding because I just don't know. I mean, the fact that they're still around, the fact that they survived, says something to the perseverance of this team, the Never Say Die Penguins. That being said, that's an awful lot to come back to, going into Philadelphia, needing to win to continue on. It's a lot like Game 4, but can they push that momentum just one game further is what I'm wondering, especially given the time and the day. They don't that's not really been a very strong suit for this team. And I'm just, you know, there's just so many what ifs that I just don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And that's ultimately, we've seen, you know, teams come back from 3-0 only a couple times in the history of this league. And a few teams have made it to a 6th game. A few teams have won those first two and pushed it to 6. And a few more have even taken it to 7. But it's just, you know, you take a look at this game, and I'm not trying to be negative when I say this, but if it's not for Marc-Andre Fleury completely standing on his head in the third period, we're watching a handshake line right now. And the Flyers did not play a bad game. Brzgalov was not bad at all tonight. I mean, he was shaky, yeah, but I don't think that he was significantly less shaky than Marc-Andre Fleury. The difference, again, was another strong defensive performance. And I think both teams, there was a couple plays that kind of walked that fine line, but for the most part, both teams really cracked down and played some really intense playoff hockey. There wasn't the shenanigans off after the whistle that led to these huge brawls. There wasn't this gaudy, unrealistic, lopsided 10-3, 8-4 kind of score that we've seen in the past. Both teams really just wanting to do it and eliminate the other team in the right way. The Pens still staying in there. Like I said, Marc-Andre Fleury, a big reason for that. Really just impressed with this play tonight. If he made a few of those saves, a flurry of saves, no pun intended, that he made in the third period, boy, that is as impressive as goaltending we've seen in the postseason so far.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, tonight's game, this is what playoff hockey is all about. It was exciting. It kept you on the edge of your seat. But by the same token, you weren't shaking your head going, what are you doing? Why are you, the momentum swinging in your waist, why are you punching somebody in the face? So we are joined now by Nick Richter. He's given us a call live from, I believe, the Lexus Club. So, Nick, what are your thoughts? Or maybe not. Maybe he's not going to join us.
Yeah, let me unmute myself like like an idiot. Man, what else can you say about this game? That was exactly the effort that the Pens needed to put forth tonight. And that last period took about 10 years off of my life. No lie. That was just as exciting, and the fans are into it. That was a surreal moment in this series.
Yeah, you know, and I really got to take my hat off to the Console Energy Center fans, both outdoors and indoors. That was as crazy of an atmosphere and an environment I've ever seen Console have.
It was rabid. It was absolutely rabid here, Joe, and it was so loud. In fact, during the player introductions in the beginning of the game, when the Pens came out, you couldn't hear the goal horn. That's how loud it was. You couldn't hear Ryan Mill, which is...
Wow, there's your answer right there, yeah.
An absolute first time ever that's happened. It was ecstatic. It was electric in here, and they kept it up the entire game.
Well, we just got the word that Game 6 will be at noon on Sunday afternoon, so a little bit of an early game. For that, Nick, what do you think about this team going into Philadelphia right now? You know, they obviously have picked up a lot of momentum, two big wins in a row. Marc-Andre Fleury, fantastic tonight. But they're going back to Philadelphia, and I think this Flyers team really looked strong in the last 12 minutes of that game. Do they build on that, or do the Pens take it to 7?
You know what? It's one of those things where the Pens are playing very well right now. Throughout that last desperation second half of that third period by the Philadelphia Flyers there, I thought the Pens played a really strong game. They started choking out. If you look at the first half of that third period, they were choking out the Flyers in that first half, and then they got a really desperate time. Philadelphia started mounting a little bit of a comeback there at that second half. In the first 10 minutes of that period, though, you look and the Pens are out shooting the Flyers 6-0 and grinding them down and just cycling it in their own end. I think it was just exactly what you needed to see from the Pens. And if you're the Flyers, you can't help but think that the Pens are back in the series. Their heads are back in the series. And tonight might have been the toughest of these games to see because the Flyers were playing this game. And they were playing a very smart game as well. They didn't resort to a lot of the after-whistle stuff. The Pens didn't resort to the after-whistle stuff. It was focused from both teams. And that was the best that you can see from both teams in that game. And it was really exciting to watch. I think, like I said, I think the Pens are definitely a little bit inside the heads of the Flyers now. But the work's not done now. They have to take it into Philadelphia and continually stay focused every second that they're out there on the ice. And while the Flyers had a very, very strong second half of that third period, still, it's been at least now 6 periods where they have not scored a 5-on-5 goal. All of their goals in the past 2 games now have come from the power play. And their offense 5-on-5 isn't getting pucks in behind Flower right now. And that is that's a big thing. And it's going to start to take its toll on that Flyers psyche a bit.
Yeah, and really... When you break down the numbers, for the most part, it tells a lot about tonight's game. You break down the shots. Flyers outshot the Pens 26-23. That's a close number. Flyers and Pens on faceoffs. Pittsburgh just a single single faceoff ahead at 30-29, hits 24 Pittsburgh, 22 Philly, right there. Penalty minutes, 10 penalty minutes for Pittsburgh, just 6 for Philadelphia. Pittsburgh power play, roughly around 33%. Flyers power play, right around 40%. 18 block shots to 10. A lot of those were Zdeněk Mihalik. But a big number that really becomes interesting is when you take a look at the turnovers. 12 giveaways from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia's 4, but Pittsburgh, 5 takeaways to Philadelphia's 1.
Wow.
So
yeah,
the turnover departments really had, I think, a lot to do with this one. Just really kind of back and forth. And a lot of that was strong back checking by both teams. Strong defensive effort from Philadelphia despite not having Nick Grossman in the lineup. And it turned out that goaltending was the difference for this one. Not necessarily something that was a big hindrance to Philadelphia, but, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury coming up big in the third period, like I've been talking about, that was really impressive, and that was the difference maker in this one.
You want to know another big stat there that is maybe pretty unnoticed, but coming into this game tonight, Jordan Staal had 5 goals, he's kind of Claude Giroux, 5 goals on 10 shots. Tonight, we went 1-for-1, and he's got 6 goals now on 11 shots. That is some kind of number right there, too.
Yeah, it really is. And Jordan Staal has to be the most interesting player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, you carve out that section of Fleury's game like I was talking about. Jordan Staal has been far and away the Penguins' best player in this series. Just the type of coming-out party that he's had. 9 points now, and, you know, Crosby with 8 points and Malkin with 7. Through 5 games, those are pretty good numbers. I don't think Malkin has played particularly well, but the numbers are still there. Jordan Staal with 9 points, and I feel like the effort there is massive. And just a name I want to throw out there, because it's a guy that Nick, I mean, you and I have discussed him quite a bit on the show, but Tyler Kennedy putting up 2 points tonight. He now has 6 points in this postseason, having definitely, I think, the strongest stretch of play of his NHL career so far. Guys like him stepping it up and kind of providing that secondary scoring role, that really has become a nice safety net when Crosby and Malkin, even though 87 and 71 have 15 points combined between them, I don't think either one of those big names have played particularly well, not to the level of Jordan Staal. And even when Chris Letang, who I think we all know him for his defense, you know, he hasn't put up the type of offensive production and the type of play with the puck that we would see. So a guy like Tyler Kennedy, who really caught a lot of guff from the fans, he's playing fantastic hockey right now too.
Yeah, and just another name to throw in there. Eric Tangrady's been playing very, very well these past 2 games that he's been in there. He's using his body a lot. But you're absolutely right, Tyler Kennedy, that shot tonight he had from that slapper, that was the most wicked shot I've seen him ever shoot in his entire career, and I was surprised it hit the net, just because you're not accustomed to seeing that. And that was a laser beam and had eyes, and it went straight into the back of that netting. And I'm really glad that you and I had that the Tyler Kennedy Coleman fish 9-point truce there, and it makes a big. He's playing great right now. 6 points in these 5 games. I think if you're any Pens fan right now, you're gonna take that from Tyler Kennedy, and it's a really great thing to see.
And the Pens have not lost since we settled that wager, by the way, since we called off the wager.
Yeah.
Now 2-0. So. You know, just something interesting out there. I'm not a superstitious guy, but, you know.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people this time of year really are. So, you know, I just something funny to throw out there. You know,
I'm one of those guys, Joe, and I think you saw that today whenever I drove it all the way down to your house just to make sure you had some Coleman fish today before the game.
Yeah, funny story, a little bit of an aside for the listeners out there. I got up this morning and, you know, I kind of came down a little under the weather last night. Wasn't feeling so hot. Woke up this morning, still not feeling very hot. But Nick and I We met up at Coleman's Fish Market in Wheeling, West Virginia on a Wednesday before game four. And we had, you know, fish sandwiches, and their food is fantastic down there. And, you know, it was kind of like a good luck charm for Nick, I guess. And so he wanted to build on it, and I get up today, and I see a car roll in my driveway, and it's Mr. Nick Richter with a bag of hot fish sandwiches. And we had some fish sandwich lunch again this afternoon at my house. And, you know, for those superstitious people out there, send them a thank you card on Twitter tonight or something like that, because that was, you know, just kind of a fun little thing to throw out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't forget the Rogue Dead Guy ale in there either, Joe. That's pretty much a staple with that as well right now.
That might be the combo, right? That might be like the
combo breaker.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I'll send this over to Ashley, because I know that she is a big Steve Sullivan fan, and Sullivan has been, you know, has had a lot of impact on the power play, which won 1-for-3 tonight. But, you know, that power play just looks like a really more functional unit now than I think it has in a long time. But at the same time, the Flyers' power play has been just as effective, and special teams was a really big influence on the outcome of tonight's game. Can the Pens manage to stay out of the penalty box?
You know what? I was just going to say, you know, that seems to be the downfall right now, is getting sent to the penalty box. And it's not even, you know, I'm one of those fans. I never like a penalty. I don't care if some people say, oh, it's a good penalty to take. As far as I'm concerned, if you're taking a penalty, it's not a good penalty, because
right.
You're something wrong. You're, you know, for lack of a better word, you're screwing your team over for 2 minutes. And those can be, you know, barring the last 2 minutes of a hockey game, two of the most agonizing minutes of any hockey game to watch, the 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. But I was actually just thinking about that, because, you know, that's where Philadelphia is kind of drawing their strength from. If Pittsburgh can manage to stay out of the box, you're not really giving them that opportunity to capitalize.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and they played a little smarter hockey today. There are a few calls that that you could have called either way, especially the Malkin hit on Shen after Shen kind of went after Niskanen a little bit. But Ashley, you're nailing it. The more you stay out of the box and keep this a 5-on-5 style of play, the harder this series is going to be right now for the Flyers to start to gain momentum, because they've been that potent on the power play, and most of their goals. Not most, but almost half of their goals in the series have come on the power play.
Yeah, absolutely. And their power play has never been below 20% in a game in this series. This was...
It's around 60% right now.
Right, total. It's around 60%. That's absurd. That is for people who aren't, you know, kind of, you know, hardcore stat people on the NHL, that is an absurdly high number. For any stretch of the season, that is a really, really high number. And, you know, I take a look at that, and I see some of the penalties that the Pens are taking, and a lot of them are dumb. Like the Tyler Kennedy call tonight, I understand Hartnell runs at him, and I'm not defending Hartnell there. I'm not saying that there shouldn't have been a call there, that should have been a no call. I understand fans' arguments on the side of that, but Kennedy has to recognize that there's going to be a referee in the area of that. And if you take your stick and you're laying on the ground and you just swing it at a player's legs, there's no way an official is going to confuse that enough with a hockey play to where you're not going to get called for it. And even a call that the Pens got away with, one of the worst in-game penalty no calls I have seen all postseason, James Van Riemsdyk in front of the net, and Brooks Orpik is just all over this guy, basically pinning him down onto the ice on top of him, and absolutely no call. So the Pens got a little bit of luck of the draw there, but they could have been in the penalty box even more than what they were. And when the Flyers have the man advantage, you just feel like every shot's going to go in with the way this series has gone so far.
Yeah, Go ahead, Ashley.
I was just going to say exactly. And, you know, Pittsburgh, if you've been paying attention, they've been pretty sneaky lately, and they've been getting away with you know, a call here, a call there. And it's not smart hockey, and you need to smarten up, because, you know, when the officials do catch on is when you get royally screwed, for lack of verbatim. That is exactly what happens, and you can't blame anybody but yourself for, you know, those extra little jabs.
Yeah, and like Joe was saying there, it seems like every shot on that power play, whenever the Pens are on the PK, it seems like every shot that the Flyers take seemingly could go in at any point. And that was the point, I think, up until that second goal. And every power play that the Flyers had after that, the Pens looked a lot more composed. They looked a lot more systematic in their play, and they started getting the clears. And I tell you what, and they fed off of the momentum of that crowd tonight, too. Every clear that they had, it was just like the loudest pop from the crowd that you can possibly hear. And you know those guys were kind of feeding off of some of that energy there. And after they settled down, after they gave up those two early power play goals, it was pretty much tightening the ship down. And there was a huge penalty kill towards the end of that second period. And then start around the middle of that third, and it was like there's another. I had said at one point in that second period, after they killed that penalty towards the end there, I said that was the biggest penalty kill of the entire year. And then I was only outdone. I had to say it again after that second one, but like it's right now that it looks like the Penguins are starting to get their power or their penalty kill back in order. And eventually, for Philadelphia, those numbers have to even out somewhere. Just a law of physics and logistics there, you know, it just has to kind of even out somewhere along the line.
Yeah, there's two kind of topics I want to seg in off of that and kind of branch from that, because, you know, I think they're both worth talking about. One, we're talking about penalties. Bob McKenzie on the intermission tonight believes that Evgeny Malkin will not going to be disciplined for his elbow tonight on Sean Couturier, but he is going to be kind of looked at by the league in a little closer light. He kind of got away with one on Nick Grossman. And another kind of bad elbow, another sketchy elbow tonight. Do you guys think that Malkin is getting a little too out of control emotionally to play the kind of game that we all know him to play?
No, I think he's playing with a little bit of an edge. Just from the replays I saw on the Couturier hit tonight from Malkin, it didn't so much look like an elbow as it was a high hit. And it was borderline, and I'm not sure there was contact on the head or not. I'm not sure if you saw a different replay or not than I have, but it looked close. It looked questionable. Will they start to put him under the scope a bit? I think so, definitely. And I think Laviolette's going to start making sure that the refs take notice on number 71 when he's out there on the ice, because he's playing with a little bit of an edge. But I don't think it's really affecting his style of game. I think it's just he's just making him notice that he's out there still, in just a little bit different way than he's usually doing it.
When we talk about Gino, when we talk about things like that, I'm always taken back to Bruce Boudreau last year calling and saying, if you can get under his skin, if you can get him a little bit on edge, he's going to take stupid penalties and he's going to make stupid mistakes. And I think that is something that he with his play consistently, and sometimes maybe so mistakes are so high. That being said, I agree with Nick. You know, they're going to maybe focus in a little bit more. It's not entirely throwing off his game, but when you're counting on him to be a big part of the team by the same token, you need him to kind of step back and say, okay, you know what, maybe I'm not right, making the right decision, and the last thing that I want to do in a situation like this is do something that's going to hurt my team.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing I kind of want to branch off of to kind of take the live portion of the show out on a positive note. People will say that Marc-Andre Fleury was the number one star tonight, and I actually disagree with that. I think Fleury was a two-star. I think Jordan Staal should have been the third. I think the one star for tonight needs to be the fans at Console Energy Center, because ever since Console Energy Center opened, Penguins fans have been looking for a moment to build on, the way that Mellon Arena had a lot of moments, and it developed a culture, it developed a sense of identity, it developed just an overall feeling that you were somewhere that embodied your team and your city in what you really believed in. Consol has been the total opposite of that since day one, and I've disliked the building up until tonight. I'm just going to be honest about it. Tonight was kind of where I really did a 180 with Consol, and we really understood what that, what this arena can be and what this crowd can be like when they're really, you have a sellout crowd that is going completely, you know, just a bunch of maniacs, and they're almost 17,000 Pittsburgh maniacs in the place. And
almost,
I believe
almost 19,000 actually. It was 18,000.
Oh, really?
Biggest crowd in the history of the console. And
I knew it was. Yeah, I knew it was the biggest. But I don't think there's any question. Nick, you probably agree with this because you were there. But I don't think there's any question that that had a really big impact on the game.
Absolutely, and I lost count of the number of flurry chants that they had tonight. It seemingly every save, huge boisterous flower chants there for him. Even before the game, like during the anthem, it was loud during the anthem, which is a little disrespectful. But like this crowd was amped from the get go, and this is by far the best crowd. And they need to if there's a game seven, it needs to at least be at that level for the Penguins fans, because those boys fed off that tonight. I can guarantee you that, because it was loud. You couldn't hear yourself think. You couldn't hear anything but the crowd noise most of that game. And it was great to see, because like you said, Joe, it's not been known for being the loudest crowd in the entire NHL. But I forget who it was tonight. It was either Drager or Darren Rosen. It was Drew Rosen, sorry, from Dan Rosen. I knew it was a D something. Thank you, James. Dan Rosen from NHL.com had mentioned that was the loudest crowd in the entire NHL playoffs this entire year right now. So great job by the Consol Energy crowd there tonight. They really brought it, and people have noticed. So it's great to see. Things are going well.
You know, there were times during the TSN broadcast you couldn't hear them over the crowd at Consol, over the energy, the noise that was coming out of them. And I'm sort of that school of thought that if you can leave a hockey game and your ears aren't ringing and you still have a voice, then you haven't hearing your heart out and you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing.
What?
Even if you should look like an idiot.
What?
I see what you did there.
I see
what you did there. You're so smart, Nick.
I'm just wicked clever.
Another quick positive aside, a little bit away from the tonight's Pens game. Nashville eliminates Detroit in five games. They're going to move on. But in the case that and there's a good chance of it, this could have been the last time we saw Nicholas Lidstrom play on NHL ice. So,
one more year, Nick. One more.
I'm hoping like one more. I really do. And I think he will. But just in case, got to go on the record. One of the classiest dudes ever. One of the best defensemen of all time, without question. Just one of the greatest NHL players of all time. Definite first ballot Hall of Famer. You've got to take your hat off to a guy like that.
That would be a real loss. I'm not one to be kind of emotional when I see players retire, but that one, even myself not being a hardcore Detroit fan, that one would be sad. If he does, to call it a day and that's it, it's going to be sad.
Yeah, like you guys said, he's one of the classiest players to ever lace up for an NHL game, and he's played for so long. It's going to be hard to, if this was Lidstrom's last game, it's going to be really hard not to see him on the ice next year in the NHL. Just a complete classy guy, great talent out there, and you know what? He still has that talent. He's like Teemu Selanne. Those two guys could play seemingly forever, and I would love to see that happen, because they're great, and I don't think they have a down gear in them. I think they're going to be able to play at a high level until they're in the grave, like Lemieux.
Okay, we got less than a minute left, so I want to get you guys real quick answer and just a sentence explaining why. Do the Pens go to Game 7, Ashley?
Oh, I don't know. If they can play like tonight, if they can maintain focus, absolutely. If they can't maintain focus, it's been a great dance, but we'll see you next year.
Ditto.
Okay. All right. You know what? I was at the point where I thought the series was going to end in six. I think the Pens are taking it back to Pittsburgh in seven.
Respect. None.
Oh, my God. Anyway, for Ashley Langlois and Nick Richter, I'm Joe Depto. We will be back Monday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Head over to thepensnation.com, and you can subscribe to the show for free and take it from there. We'll see you later.
I'm not sure if we're in overtime because it's saying recording, but it's not showing me any time. So
yeah, we're in overtime then.
Because usually it gives you like a it puts a time clock up, but it's not. So
yeah, you have to click on end episode to land it.
Well, I know that, but
no, oh, okay.
So are we ending it?
Is there anything else? Is there anything else you want to touch on before we?
Call
it a week.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Tonight was a game that I think kind of spoke for itself, and we've broken down all these games because we knew that it was at least either going to be the end, and we were talking about the end. Or we knew that there was going to be the next game. And there was also a lot of drama. This is just one of those really unusual series where, you know, we saw a lot of stuff that we never really have in the past. And this was kind of one of those stereotypical knockdown, drag-out, you know, fights of a hockey game. And we really kind of got back to quality playoff hockey and really what makes it like nothing else in sports. I mean, NHL playoff hockey, there's just nothing else in sports, period. Not only hockey, but it's just the best.
It's interesting you say that because earlier today I was kind of reflecting upon, you know, the last week or so, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I've ever seen a more dramatic year in playoff hockey this year. I mean, the blood is just, you know, flowing everywhere. And you're kind of watching, and it's not even just contained to this series, any series that you watch. And I mean, playoffs, it's a whole new game. It's a whole new season. You expect, you know, the kind of rough and tumble stuff to come out of desperation. But I mean, this year, it's just been a little bit brutal.
Yeah.
It's
been a tough one. I mean,
Roman circus.
Yeah. This has been one of those series that I've never really seen anything like it. I mean, I don't think you've ever, you know, had, if the Pens come back, I don't think you're really going to have a moment as a Pens fan where you can point at as being a high, you know, than what you will be if the Pens come back and force a game 7 or actually win this thing. I think that would be probably the high moment of any Pens fan since the Stanley Cup. And I don't think you're ever going to have as much of a low as losing game 3 and going down 3-0. I think that was, other than game 7 in 2010, that was probably the toughest moment of really kind of being a Pens fan since the lockout ended. So it's been one of those really emotional, just goofy. And that's why I just don't know if there's anything more we can really say about this one, because I feel like we've gotten the shenanigans out of the way. We're getting back to the real hockey again. We're getting back to these two teams playing tight competitive hockey with genuine dislike for one another, genuine hate in each other's bloods for each other. One, I think we've seen that, you know, players trying to injure each other, all that stuff. And, you know, Sunday is just going to speak for itself, because if the Pens win, you're coming back to Pittsburgh on Tuesday night, and that's going to be one game that's going to feel like a Stanley Cup final. If the Pens lose, then we're right where we were at the end of game 3, because I think everyone was emotionally prepared for the season to end at that point.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I can't. I think you've summated that very well, because I don't know, like you said, where do you go from that? So many. There really is no direction, you know. After that, you just kind of, okay, bring on September, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, tonight's show, I mean, we it was one of the shorter ones we've done in a long time, but I think that's a good thing, because I just don't know how much more of this series or this particular game or whatever, or both really, that we can actually break down. I just think it is what it is, you know. I just think it's one of those things where, you know, I just feel like Sunday is really going to say it all. It's crazy. I just can't. It's tough to wake up in the morning and have a game at noon and get all fired up for a game at noon. But noon is going to be, like I said, other than Game 7 in 2010 against Montreal and Game 7 in 2009 against Detroit, this is the biggest Pens game. You take those two away, and this is the biggest Pens game in years. And I really don't know what else to say about it. And I think if Philly, given the way things went tonight, I think if Philly loses on Sunday, I think tomorrow, whoever wins, obviously, you know, Philly is the obvious answer. Well, of course, if they win on Sunday, they win. But I think whoever wins on Sunday is going to the next round. I'll be honest about that.
And on that note, we will end it for tonight. Thank you for downloading the podcast and listening to us for 5 minutes. But like my colleague Joe Depto said, the game speaks for itself.